Ever. So we last time we spoke about the Magen Mishnah, right? The Magen Mishnah in Perek Beis, Halacha Yudalei, the Hilchos Shabbos. Magen Mishnah has a chiddush that we are osim kol tzrachav shel cholah, meaning to say that once a person is a cholah sheyesh bo sakana, you could even do things which are considered a tzorach, but it is not necessarily a pikuach nefesh. We give a few examples. The guy's a cholah sheyesh bo sakana, and the person asks, I want oatmeal, right? The oatmeal is not going to help him or her get better at all, but they want oatmeal, right? And it's not even yesuvei daita. They're not going to like be stressed out if they don't have it. If it'll stress them out, it'll be anxiety. So yesuvei daita, we pointed out, according to the Prima Gadam, Yemachal Shabbos, even on Dairaisas, the Gemara only says that Yimachal Shas and Dairais is for Yoledes, not for regular Chola. But the case of a person who wants oatmeal, and it won't lead to anxiety, so the Magen Mishnah says you can make the oatmeal because we are osim kol tzrach of shochola. Whatever is considered a tzorach, meaning whatever you would do on a Wednesday, you also do on a Shabbos. Right? That's what the Magen Mishnah says. In terms of, let's say, turning on the air conditioner, assuming there's a derais of hashtases, I'm turning on air conditioners and using electricity is only drabanans. But assuming it's a derais, so you could even turn on an air conditioner according to the Magen Mishnah, because osin kol tzrachav. The Mishnah Berurah does not really like the Magen Mishnah. He says most Rishonim disagree. So you should not do a deraisa unless it's going to be something that will lead to chizuk gufo. If it's a type of tzorach that will make the person healthier, so then you can be machal Shabbos even on the deraisa. That's the psak of the Mishnah Berurah. And based on this, we said that the Sefer Archos Shabbos kind of agrees with the psak of Reb Chaim, but lav mitaimei. Right? If you remember, Reb Chaim famously paskined that if someone is a cholash yesh bo sakana, so you do not feed the person hakal hakal tchila, you don't feed the person pachas mikashirin yom kippur. Reb Chaim paskined that you give a full shear. Reb Chaim never gave the psak a pachas pachas mikashir for someone who's a cholash yesh bo sakana. He says that if you have somebody who you're worried might become a cholash yesh bo sakana, then the psak is pachas pachas mikashir. But if you're ready a cholash yesh bo sakana, it's okay. And Reb Velvel in his sefer in Hilchos Shvi'us Asar, Reb Velvel is Reb Chaim's son, right? There are two sons, Reb Moshe Soloveitchik and Reb Velvel. So Reb Velvel writes that Reb Chaim is based on the Magen Mishnah. That's considered kol tzrach of shochola. You can do whatever you want, whatever is necessary, and therefore you give a full shear. That's why Reb Velvel said it. The Archos Shabbos points out that no, right? Even though the Mishnah Berurah doesn't like the Magen Mishnah, but the Mishnah Berurah might agree with the Psak of Reb Chaim, perhaps, because it's considered Chizuk Gufo. If I am sick on Yom HaKippurim and I need to eat a Pachos Mikashir, obviously, if I eat a full shear, I'll be stronger, healthier, etc. No? So it's Chizuk Gufo. Now, it happens that Reb Chaim Psak is against the Shulchan Aruch, although Reb Shechter says that B'Shem the Rav, that the Rav said that his father, Reb Moshe, was told by Reb Chaim, you have to give the Psak like me, that you don't pass in Pachos Pachos Mikashir, you only give that Psak if you're worried someone will become a Cholash Yesh Bo Sakana. Reb Shechter said that this was the standard Psak in Lithuania. And I had a shayla. I had a few shaylas about cholash yesh bo sakana yom kippurim, or someone. The shayla usually comes up with pregnant women and what conditions they have in the pregnancy. That's usually when you get the yom kippur shaylas. So there's a couple of complicated shaylas. Usually, the person I go to is Rabbi Neuberger. Rabbi Neuberger was the Rav in Einstein for many years, a few years. He has tremendous bekiyas and this stuff. He's the go-to guy for Yom Kippur Shailas. So one time I asked Rabbi Neuberger the Shaila I discussed with you about the woman who had a kidney transplant. And the doctor said she needed to drink a total of like 8 liters of water a day. If it would be pachas, pachas mikashir, you'd spend the entire day drinking, right? Can you give a psak that you're allowed to drink a full shear? And then you'd have some semblance of Yom Kippurim. So Rabbi Neuberger said that he had to think about the shayla. So while Rabbi Neuberger was thinking about the shayla, so I decided to ask Rav Schechter, like, why not? He's also an Orthodox Jew. He has a beard, everything like that. So I asked Rav Schechter. So Rav Schechter's like, I don't understand the shayla. Like, you're cholish yesh b'sakana. You had a kidney transplant. So you just drink normally. That's what Rav Chaim said. And like, end of conversation. So then I see Rabbi Neuberger in the Rosh Hashiva lounge, like the day later. He's like, you know, did you do any more research on the shayla? So we have a conversation. I said, yeah, I spoke to Rav Schechter. And he said that you just drink normally. So Rabbi Neuberger is like, yeah, that's what I'd expect him to say. But, you know, that's not mainstream in Psak Halacha. It's not. Shulchan Aruch and Tafrei Shud Ves does not paskin like Reb Chaim. Or Reb Chaim is against the Shulchan Aruch. But, okay, that's the way it is. So far we have our Magid Mishnah. Now, Chevra, what's the rationale behind the Magid Mishnah? Right? How can the Magid Mishnah say that you do Osam Kol Tzrachav? So we said last time, this part Michal agreed with, that it is hutra. Pekuach nefesh on Shabbos is hutra, therefore you do everything, right? Even Michal agreed with that point. So then we pointed out that we got a problem because the Rambam says that pekuach nefesh is duchuya, not hutra. So we had one suggestion that Michal did not like at all, which Rav Schechter has, that maybe when the Rambam says duchuya, he doesn't really mean duchuya. He's using the word duchuya as a polemic against the Karaites. And Michal's like, well, if it's a polemic against the Karaites, he'll say hutra, adarabba, like really sack it to them. Good kasha. But then we had a second mahalach that we said from Rabbi Chanan Wasserman, right? So Rabbi Chanan in the Kovetz Haaretz and Yevamos, Rabbi Chanan develops this idea that just like when I do a bris milah on Shabbos, kol shelo silek yado, right? As long as I'm in the middle of the cutting of the milah, I can even cut off parts which are a hider mitzvah, parts which are not essential for the milah. That means that when you're involved in something that's mutter on Shabbos, you can do it in the way that would be the nicest, the most gishmak, etc. So says Rabbi Chanan, that's the pshat in the Magid Mishnah. You're involved in Pekuach Nefesh on Shabbos. Once I'm involved in Pekuach Nefesh on Shabbos, so therefore I could do it in a way that will be the most geschmack. The most geschmack in the sense, I don't know, geschmack usually means it tastes good. The nicest, right? The shenster, right? The nicest way. Why? Because it's going to be a hider mitzvah. The chola will end up stronger. It's a hit or miss in the final outcome. That's what Rebbe Chanan said. So memela, the person has not yet completely healed. You're still involved in pekuach nefesh. So therefore, you can go all the way. You can be mechal Shabbos, even for kol tzrachav. That's what Rebbe Chanan explained. So far, so good? Hello, Ms. Stepansky. How is Judaism?
It's okay. So I have a question. So I feel like pekuach nefesh is feels like less of a one-time action, but a continuous.
So unlike bris mila, which is just that one mice of chaticha, but because pikuach nefesh is an ongoing thing, so until the person is fully healed, you are osik in the pikuach nefesh. You're involved in the process, and therefore I could do kol tzrachav. It's no worse than the hider mitzvah. That's what Rabbi Chanan says, which I think is really creative. I really like that approach. We're good so far? But here's where it becomes halacha l'maisa. You have a cut. So you need sutures. You need stitches, no? So are you allowed to do, you're a Jewish doctor, right? In America, you go to the hospital and like a guy is probably going to sew you up. But you're a doctor. Am I allowed to do stitches on Shabbos? Is there a malacha involved in doing stitches? 39 malacha. Tofer. Like you're sewing.
Exactly tofer.
Right? It's mamish exactly tofer. Well, Not necessarily.
Could have infection.
So one second. So we're going to talk about pikuach nefesh, right? There are certain types of cuts that can get infected. So it's potentially pikuach nefesh. Obviously, we're heading in that direction. Other cuts sometimes are not going to ever, or it's highly unlikely, extremely, I shouldn't say highly unlikely, because it's suffik pikuach nefesh is also docha Shabbos. But let's say you know for sure it's not going to get infected. You could put some bacitracin on the cut and wrap it up. It's a couple of hours before Seis HaShabbos. You could wait till Matzei Shabbos. No question, it won't get infected. So then you don't sew it up, right? But if I sew it up, so it sounds like it's the melacha of tofer. Well, there's a few problems. Do melachas apply to the human body? So you're going to say, yeah. What's your raya?
You can't do gozes.
What? So you can't do shochet. Gozes, cutting your fingernails, is gozes. Reb Moshe Feinstein writes, the shaila is, are you allowed to go to the mikvah on Shabbos and like clean your beard? Reb Moshe says, there's no malach of kibos begufo sha'adam. There's no malacha of laundering on your body, no? There is kavisa ba'ar. What?
Wouldn't it depend on the malacha?
So it depends on the malacha.
Part of kibos is that clothing, but we need different ones.
So it's different. Different malachas are different, right? Obviously, that's the yisod that that we're getting at. Different malachos are different. It's a shaila about, is there bona by a human being?
With braids.
Braiding. So maybe vayiven Hashem Elokim esha, right, esha tzela le'adam. So Chazal say vayiven means that he brought, the Rebbe Nishon brings chava to person, to Adam Arishon with like lots of braids. She looks very nice. And braiding is a malacha based on that. But it could be that that's only braiding. Is there bona on sha'ar chelkei hagof? So there's a famous sugya called Mapis Mursa, right? Mapis Mursa means popping pimples. So what's the issue with popping pimples, right? You did this in Ksubis, maybe.
Bona.
Bona, according to? Rashi. But according to the Rambam, not bona.
That you're making an opening.
Making an opening that air comes in is bona.
Okay.
The Rambam does not say bona. The Rambam says it's makeh b'patish. The Achronim explained that the Rambam holds that there is no bona begufo shel adam. Right? Yeah, braiding, that's a special gzeiras hakasa, vayivan hasharon, etc. But bona fundamentally does not apply to the human body. Right? There are, there's a great sefer, by the way, in Hilchos Refua. The best sefer is the Nishmas Avram, Dr. Abraham S. Abraham. He's like a Talmud of Reb Shlomo Zalman. And he's actually South African.
Nishmas
Avram. Abraham?
It's
Nishmas Avraham, yeah. He is he's a medical doctor, and he wrote these four volumes on Nishmas Avram, Arachayim, Yerideya, etc. And he discussed every Shiloh with every Gadol. So he tells you, Rebbe Yoshev said this to me, Rebbe Shlomo Zalman said this, Chacham Obad Yosef said this. Yeah, it goes through everything. The cool thing about Abraham is that his wife, two things which are cool. One is he and his wife never had children.
So cool.
Even though, no, that's not so cool. But the cool part is that he is the world authority on medical halacha, and he for himself was machmir not to go through IVF. That's what's really interesting. Even though in his sefer he has all the kulas, but he allows it for other people. He personally was machmir. So that is, I shouldn't say the word cool. Interesting. And the cool part is that his wife was my father's secretary. That's the cool part. And he didn't really speak Yiddish. So my father took him to Moshe Feinstein a few times. Because my father spoke Yiddish, so he took him to Moshe to ask Shilas. When he was getting into this stuff, they were actually in Baltimore for a couple of years. That's when my father was directing the Federation Baltimore. They were in Baltimore because she was trying to get fertility treatments. That was my mother met her there. My mother was going for fertility treatments also. I was born like around 10 years after my parents were married. Like, no one thought that, like, my parents would have children. That's, like, the basic story there.
Are you an only child?
Well, I have an older sister who was born, like, a year and a half before me. But, like, no one thought that they would have children. My mother met Mrs. Abraham, like, in fertility clinics. She ended up working as my father's secretary. That was, yeah, that's, like, the family story. So Dr. Abraham has, like, it's the sefer on medical halacha. It's like, it's tremendous. So he spoke to everybody. So certain malachos apply begufo sha'adam. Other malachos don't apply begufo sha'adam. It's not clear which is which. It's a suffix about whether tofer applies begufo sha'adam. It's unclear. Rav Shlomo Zalman says it's suffix deraisa. So therefore, potentially, there's an issa deraisa to do sutures on Shabbos. Now, is this tefira shel kayama, tefira she'ena shel kayama? Now, I could also talk about it not with sewing, not with stitches, but I could talk about it with other forms of tofer. Today they have like a, you could put like a type of glue that could hold the body together, or like a butterfly stitch, right? A butterfly, it's like a type of strong band-aid, a butterfly band-aid, like holds it together. Rav Shlomo Zalman entertains us for that maybe it's not tofer because when you do the stitching, you're not actually touching, you're not really combining the skin. What you're doing is you're bringing it close enough that it will grow together. But really, the malach of tofer is when you make something, v'hayula achadim b'yadecha, you like make it one thing. Over here, it becomes one on its own. Maybe it's like the malach of Zoreya, that it happens memela over time. Because you're just bringing the skin is going, right? You bring the skin close enough together, it's going to heal on its own. Or maybe there's a special chiddush in the pasuk, or in the, however you understand, the chiddush of the malach of Zoreya, is I start it now and it happens memela namchayiv. Is there a difference between like these type of band-aids that you hold stuff together and stitching? Right? The malach of tofer is when I use a third item to combine two items. Right? Unlike kosher. Now, stitches happens to be a little bit worse because stitches end up with a knot at the beginning and at the end, no? Just like the Gemara says by kosher. So, okay. So you have somebody serious cut. You're allowed to do stitches on Shabbos. Nachon? Right? Pekuach nefesh. Great. Here's the thing. Plastic surgery versus stitches. Right? The difference between plastic surgery, yeah.
Wait, sorry. But with those stitches, it's suffik pikuach nefesh, right?
Well, let's assume it's a vade pikuach nefesh. Suffik pikuach nefesh, right? But suffik pikuach nefesh is docha Shabbos. It's a suffik whether it's a malacha d'oraisa. Because I'm not sure if tofer applies begufo shel adam. And I'm not sure if this is called tofer shel kayama. Often the stitches are like dissolving stitches. No? Mm-hmm. That's what often happens. Oh. So what's the story? What's the story? Plastic surgery.
Why would you have to do that in Shabbos?
Like so why would you do it on Shabbos? So here's the thing. You come into the hospital with a serious cut. It's bekuach nefesh. They could close up the cut with like five big stitches. But you're going to have five big stitches. You're going to end up with a real scar. You'll look like Harry Potter. Right? So then am I allowed to, let's say, use 50 stitches instead of five? That's really what plastic surgery is. What they do is they sew it up very, very close together so that you don't see any scar. Is it mutter for a frum doctor to do plastic surgery on Shabbos in a pekuach nefesh situation? So,
Willick says yes.
We're back there. Okay, why? Why does Rabbi Willick say yes?
I think it's because once you're allowed to do it, you're
allowed
to do it.
It's
Marvachanan. Right? Okay, so you want to say once you're allowed to do it, I'm allowed to, but that's not necessarily true because I have to minimize my pekuach nefesh, my melacha and pekuach nefesh. So what's my heter to do 50 stitches instead of 5? So the answer is Rabbi Yochanan's pshat in the Magen Mishnah, right? There's a hider mitzvah. You're going to look nicer. So then in the Nishmas Avraham, he has a whole discussion. What about if it's like the part of the body, let's say, that won't be Megula Lekol? But let's say it's a young woman, and like her husband might not like the way it looks like 30 years down the line. Right? So this is all in the Nishmas Avraham in this conversation. He says, oh, I spoke to Rebbe Yashim. Rebbe Yashim says, I'm not sure. Rebbe Shlomo Zalman originally said it's not okay. Then later on, he said it is okay based on this Rebbe Chanan. Chacham Ovadi Yosef writes that for sure it's okay because we pasken like the Magen Mishnah, even on Doiraisa's end of conversation, the Mishnah Brura is like wrong. That's like a classical Chacham Ovadia. Right? If you look, it's like Chelak Dalet of Yechavada Simen Lamed. That's what Chacham Ovadia has this. In the Nishmas Avram, it's on, I don't remember which page, I have it written down somewhere where he is. But that is the Nikuda that I wanted to discuss based on the Rabbi Chanan last time, which really means that to be Mechal Shabbos for Hidr Mitzvah is the... to be Mechal Shabbos for Hidr Mitzvah really means that you're able to do lots of stitches when it's... Right, you can get by with fewer. That is the point that's the point I wanted to make. He quotes that Rav Vosner says that's definitely okay with a butterfly band-aid, but stitches, he's not sure. So then Dr. Abraham says, I don't understand why would there be a difference between these two. So that is the point of Pekuach Nefesh, right? The Magen Mishnah. We ready to go weiter, Chevra? Specific things. What is considered a chola sheyesh bo sakana? Right? What's called a chola sheyesh bo sakana? So I have on these sources, like on page 6, I think. I think I have it on page 6. That a discussion about whether fever is a chola sheyesh bo sakana. Should we start from there? Yeah, we'll come back to how we're magdar suffix sakana, perhaps. Oh, no, it's not page
that's
6.
That's V.
What?
It's V.
It's what page?
V. I don't know what page it is.
It's page, no, not page 6. I have a page 11.
Yeah. Oh, really?
On these things, yeah. Page 11 says fever.
Oh, fever, not suffix.
Fever. Yeah, we'll come back to suffix sakana. Oh. I told you, like, I mamish go out of order all the time. All right, so fever. Are you mechal Shabbos with someone with a fever? So what would you say?
Depends who they are. A baby.
A baby.
That's what I just said.
It depends who they are. Okay. So are they? So for a baby, okay.
Or an older person.
Or.
I guess it depends what their health condition is.
Okay. So let's go. So that's probably the answer. You have to know bepashtus why the person has the fever. Let's say a person has a known condition, a UTI causes high fevers often, right? Urinary tract infection. You have a specific condition, so then, you know, you could know that this condition is not really a pekuach nefesh situation, right? That's the pashtus. So the pashtus, your mechalo Shabbos, if you have a fever that you don't know why it's there. That's most often the case with babies. A baby begins to run a fever, like you don't know why it's there. Elderly people, I don't know if elderly people are fundamentally different in terms of the pekuach nefesh issues than younger people, but I'm not a doctor. Obviously, if it's a suffix, so we lean in the direction being mechal Shabbos or pekuach nefesh, we'll say it like that. But are you mechal Shabbos for fever? So the Gemara in Pesachim, right? Ma'aber of Ashi, Ashi chelo Ravina de Shayfle and Barte beguar kaid orla, right? Ma'aber of Ashi sees that they are putting some Orla sap on the daughter of Ravina. But you're only allowed to use Yisurei Hana'a for during Shasa Sakana. That's the stage in the Gemara and Psachim that they're up to. Amalei, no, hi ishtat samirta nami, kishasa sakana damya. Right? So ishtat samirta means a very high fever is considered like shasa sakana. A fever, I shouldn't say very high fever, a high fever, right, is pikuach nefesh. This makes it to Shulchan Aruch, right? Michal and Shabbos, al ko makas shenasis machmas barizel. That's actually very important. Halachol ma'isa. If you cut yourself on metal, tetanus, right? Now, again, can you go, how likely is it? Is there any likelihood if you get cut by metal? Is there any likelihood that you're going to die within like 3 hours, 5 hours? Right. If there isn't, assuming that's the case, so then obviously you're not mechashas, but you better know what you're talking about in these cases. Right. But oftentimes, like tetanus, you'll go to the emergency room. They're not going to triage you in right away. Right. So if it's something that you'll be triaged in right away, so okay.
How do we define a high fever?
How do we define a high fever? Wait.
Over 104 degrees.
That's really high.
Is that what I
want? Wait. Okay, so you say 104. So Shulchan Aruch, right? What was that? Yad Zaledis Bowl, 113.
Put your head by a baby's stomach.
Or you can't put food near your head, right? Unbelievable chumra. Okay, like we're combining like both semesters. But let's say I have a low Yad Zaledis threshold, like 104. So Shulchan Aruch writes that your Mechal Shabbos on any Makkah, Machmas Barzo, on Shchin that is Befiat Taba'as, if like in the rectum, if you have certain boils that develop, Simta is a type of disease, Ba'al Mi Sheyesh B'Chadachas Chom B'Yoser, O im simur. If you have a very high fever, you're Mechal Shabbos. What is a very high fever? Reb Moshe Feinstein, in a tshuva to Rabbi Aaron Jacobs, Hine, bedvar kadachas chan biyoser shemechal nolav Shabbos, like it says in Shulchan Aruch, that you asked how hot it is, right? I think that was Sarah's question, Sophia's question, everybody asked a question, how hot it has to be. So, says Reb Moshe, ein bazed davar barer. Right? Meaning, we're mechal shavs a suffix sakana. Whenever a person is worried that this is a suffix sakana, you're mechal shabbos, right? Stam b'nei adam choshishen kishu karov l'midas mea ushnayin shuchan b'yoser. Most people are nervous in the temperature of 102. That's what Moshe says. In this book, he quotes, some say 102, some say page 208 in this book. Very high fever. Your Mechal Shabbos, some posts can consider 102, which is 38.9 Celsius. Many posts can feel you're only at risk if the fever is 104, which is 40 Celsius or higher, etc. Yes.
So during COVID, would we have had a lower threshold? Like if it was 100.4, we'd be like, we have to do a Chol Shabbos.
Absolutely.
Yeah. In other words, another person had COVID. Maybe.
But again, when we know what the condition is, so then we're worried what the condition is. So obviously, we're Chol Shabbos. What I'm talking about now is an undefined fever, unspecified. But if I know the source of the fever and the doctors say, the pashta says we listen to doctors, we'll talk about that in a minute, but if I know the source of the fever, so okay, you know the source of the fever, is it a pekuach nefesh situation or not? If I don't know the source of the fever, so then you machal Shabbos, right? No matter what it is, l'chora, right? You have a low-grade fever, you don't know what it's from, right? It could be any type of real infection. So you could be Mechal Shabbos even lower. Reb Moshe is saying that your Mechal or Shabbos for a temperature of 102, even though it seems like I know the cause of it. Meaning, do you ever have a cold?
Yeah.
Do you run the fever when you have a cold? I have a kid at home now who has a cold, who's running a fever.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
Right, you have a cold, you run a fever. Did you ever have a fever 102 when you have a cold?
Maybe.
Oh, it could happen. The Tzitz Eliezer, remember, was here. Ramosha writes in the last paragraph, okay. There's one of the halachas in Shulchan Aruch that any internal injury, your mechal al Shabbos, that's actually very relevant. We assume that if you have a very intense pain, you assume or you have to be nervous that it is it's an internal injury, your mechal al Shabbos. I remember one time I woke up in the morning and I'm like, oh my gosh, I have a really bad stomach ache. So like, okay, what's the big deal? It's a stomach ache. I'm like, no, it's really bad. Got a hatsala. So my appendix went, right? And I remember like someone asked me afterwards, like, how did you know that? Like, you need, it's like just a stomach ache. I'm like, trust me, you know, right? If you have a really intense pain in the stomach, right? Whether it's on the right side or the left side, some people say, oh, appendix is only on the right side. Well, on the left side, it could be that you burst an intestine, right? Yes. Which is also kind of painful. Right, so very intense pain, your machal Shabbos, no question, right? Intense pain, that's an internal thing, right? So if I have a fever and I know it comes from intense pain, even if it's a low temperature, your machal Shabbos, even if it's chom katan, right? You know you have a kidney issue, your machal Shabbos.
But is that because of the...
It's because it's a aver hapnimi.
So it's not because of the fever.
Not because of the fever. Fever, says Rav Moshe Mechal Shabbos at 102. Even if I have a chum katan, if the chum katan is because of an aver pnimi, or I think it might be because of the aver pnimi, so now Mechal Shabbos. Right? So I have a bad stomach ache with a low fever, you Mechal Shabbos. Right? Maybe it's a gallbladder. Right? But if I have a reason to suspect or to know what the temperature is from, the fever is because I have a cold. It says in Moshe at 102 degrees, Yom Mechal Shabbos. Cold is not dangerous, but Yom Mechal Shabbos. The Tzitz Eliezer writes that he gave shiurim to the doctors. And he mentioned, here, let me just find the line. Kemo kein noman mizeh, kedom ling in chola, in the mashal. You have a regular disease. It's a cold. There's no danger at all. Right? A regular cold. You don't have any specific disease, just a cold. Tasbochet shel machala acheret, asher v'yicholta l'sakno. Ava al pi rov machala regila zo lo tavi lo shim tasbochet acheret. In other words, it could be that the disease, that the cold will lead to some other complications. Right? So what's the din? Says the Tzitz Eliezer. Azai gamkein ein lahatir l'chal Shabbos b'mlecha doyreise b'chdei lahachin es hatipol hazeh. Right, you have a condition that might perhaps in a far-fetched way lead to another condition. You're not Mechal Shabbos and Dairaises. This group of doctors I give lectures to, they told me, Kulam pe'echad. Gam avor nazelet regila sheyeshno la'adam. Ki gam benazelet im maznichim ota.
Right,
right? If you're going to say that when you have a certain condition, right, and you know what the condition is, but you're worried in a far-fetched way, it might lead to another condition. So the doctors say, if that's the case, you're going to be Mechal Shabbos for a common cold. Va'alkein hispala u'ma'ot v'kamachachu alai kisha amarti lahem shemachaber echad migdolei mechaberei zmanenu Igris Moshe Chelek Orichayim Simon Kuf Chavtas. I told them, one of the Gedolim of our generation, he didn't tell the doctors who it was. He didn't want to like put Rav Moshe down. One of the Gedolim said, L'hachir l'chal al-shaz k'sheish adam chom b'karv l'meyo u'shnayim. V'shem echad choshesh gam b'karv l'meyo v'echad. V'rotzish chal al-av Shabbos nami mechalem. Kri, right, in parentheses. Right, read it. Mutar l'chal al-shabbos if you have a temperature of 38 or 39 Celsius, or 38.9 Celsius. Right? When Moshe says according to Fahrenheit. So the doctors laughed. The doctors laughed at him. So what's the pshat in Reb Moshe? How come Reb Moshe says that you're Mechal Shabbos?
Wait, can you just summarize that?
So there are two points that are going on here. One point is if I have a relatively benign condition, but in a very far-fetched way, that condition could lead to something more serious. Am I Mechal Shabbos for that? That's one issue. Issue two, am I Mechal Shabbos if someone has a fever, that the source of that fever, the etiology for you doctors among us, the etiology of that fever is a common cold. Are you Mechal Shabbos?
I have the same questions.
It is the same question, yeah. Because like a common cold can, in a far-fetched way, lead to some complications, whatever. But Moshe says, you're Mechal Shabbos. Right? If there's a temperature of 102, you're Mechal Shabbos no matter what. Someone is nervous, even temperature of 101. Devorah, you had a comment?
No, I'm saying that does seem like there are different questions, right? Because one of them... It seems that Reb Moshe might be looking at it is that you don't like accept the hypothesis about where this fever is coming from, and we just judge each symptom independently, and we don't listen to what
So there are two separate issues, correct? Right, the Tzitz Elias is talking about something that could spread. Reb Moshe is talking about just fever kishala atzma. And the Tzitz Elias says that his group of doctors laughed at both of these suggestions. By the way, both of these suggestions will show come from Rav Moshe. We'll talk about this in a second. But the Tzitz Eliezer says, my doctors laughed. So in this book, Rabbi Bodner's book, page 102, I have this just because my son is like is in Hatzalah, and he's like really into these things. So this is Baruch Schwartz's book that I am stealing. So Rabbi Bodner quotes that Rav Moshe says, you know what? The Gemara says something is a pekuach nefesh situation, ishta tzimirta, high fever. It makes it to Shulchan Aruch. Even if the doctors say it's not, right? Who knows more, right? This sounds like every high school Moshe Shmuz. Who do you think knows more? Those doctors, right? Or Chachmei Hamasora, right? You went to high school? Hey, who knows more?
Yeah, not the high school I went to.
What?
No, go ahead. In this case, I would think the doctors, but in general,
So this is a very large question. The Gemara says that you're Mechal Shabbos for fever. Says Rabbi Bodner, Rav Moshe is saying that I listen to the doctors against. Rav Moshe is saying I listen to the Chazal against the doctors. Okay. The doctors are saying that a fever of 102 with a common cold, take Advil. That's what the doctors will tell you. Right? No, there's no Chol Shabbos. You're at least a Chol Shein Bo Sakana. Thank you very much. Right? You're in bed. Right? Take Advil. That's what doctors will say. Right? You're not Mechal Shabbos. Says Rav Moshe, you can be Mechal Shabbos because it says in the Gemara, you're Mechal Shabbos. Yes,
ma'am. Can I ask a question like in the nicest way possible?
Yes. Like, why? It's going to be hard. I get an impression.
No, just like, why does it matter what the doctors say? I'll say like this: whether or not the Hakayama soda, or we're dealing with 102, 104, whatever it is. Like, Rav Moshe's perspective is what's the threshold that's high enough for Chil Shabbos. And the Chachmei HaMesora are the determinants of what's, you know, what's Chil Shabbos and what's not. Like, what's
so curious, but the Chachmei HaMesora... But it's not Pekuach Nefesh. In other words, every Pekuach Nefesh situation, like the Halacha in Maseches Yuma, is like you have a Machlokas in the doctors, right? Do you follow Rove? You follow the bigger Bucky, right? We have all these Halachos about the doctors making determinations. So over here, the doctors are telling me, hey, take two Tylenol and call me in the morning. That's what the doctor is saying. So why would I be Machal Shabbos? Right? No one is saying, yeah. It could be, is it a considered suffix sakana that like the common cold can potentially, right, snowball into? So the assumption is that there's some minimal threshold beneath which it's not called a suffix sakana. We'll have to talk about that. Right? Remember, I'm not allowed to put myself into a sakana. Am I allowed to cross Lexington Avenue? There is always some sakana that there's going to be some. I actually was crossing the street like a couple months ago. Heading to walk here. So I think on like 6th Avenue, someone came and they're driving and they stopped in the middle of the street and they run out of the car. And then suddenly they just leave their car there in the middle of the street. And then suddenly you see like cops coming from everywhere chasing these people. And then like somebody else goes and takes the car. I don't know what was going on. I have no idea. So is there potential sakana crossing 6th Avenue? Yes. Is it mutter to cross the street? Yes. Because it's beneath, right? I can't put myself into sakana. The Binyan Sion, right? So we'll talk about this in a couple minutes. Binyan Sion says, there's a bracha called Berchas HaGomel that I make when I was in the sakana. So what's my heter ever to fly on the plane? I bench Goimo because, right? It's a suffix sakana. Well, what's the heter? If it's a suffix sakana, I'm not allowed to go into it. So obviously there's some minimal threshold beneath which it's not even considered a suffix sakana. Deep breath. So Rabbi Bodner argues that Rav Moshe says we listen to the Chachmei HaMasora against the doctors, even in medical matters. This is highly questionable because there's a principle that many Chachmei Ashkenaz and Tsarfas have. The Bali HaTosis have this in a number of places called Nishtana HaTeva. Nishtana Teva means the Gemara. I give you sources. It's called Nishtana Teva. It's Roman numeral 8 on page 12. Nishtana Teva basically is that things changed. Nature changed. For example, the Gemara Mayukatan in one place writes that if you have a fish and it's about to stink really bad, so that's the most healthy, best time to eat the fish. Now, does that work? Don't try it. Right? So Taisus on Moe Kons, already bothered by the Kasha, Zok Taisus, right? Nishtana Teva, right? The Gemara says, Kavra Samach Mamasuchi Mali, that a fish right before it stinks is very healthy. Bizman Hazeh Tovsim Sakana Lamecho Samach Lasei Rachon. Right? We consider it a Sakana. Right? Taisus talks about how the Gemara speaks about how many loaves of lung there are in animals. We assume that there are 5. There was a 6th by certain animals, the Gemara says. It's not true. Right? Nishtana Teva, Taisa says. Do I say Nishtana Teva in these cases? The doctors are saying, we know it is a common cold. Are you Mechal Shabbos? So Rabbi Bodner says that you are Mechal Shabbos according to Rav Moshe. Yeah, the Tzitz Eliezer is lecturing to a bunch of doctors. Of course, the doctors are saying, yeah, it's from a cold, so I'm not Mechal Shabbos. Moshe says, fever 102, your Mechal Shabbos. End of conversation.
Well, it could be that things were different in the sense that, in general, their modern medicine might have been different and a person might have been more susceptible to sickness.
Oh, okay. So you're saying it's not necessarily Nishtana HaTeva, but the point, so you could say it's not Nishtana HaTeva, it's Nishtana medical care. And today we have this thing called aspirin and it could reduce the fever. And if you wouldn't have aspirin, you would die of the fever, possibly. I don't know. But the point is, no doctor today would say if you have a common cold with a 102 that you should go to the emergency room. Right? And if I'm not going to the emergency room, I should not be Mechal Shabbos. Reb Moshe says not so. Because Reb Moshe says, Rabbi Bodner explains, that the Gemara says you're Mechal Shabbos, so I'm Mechal Shabbos.
So would Reb Moshe think that you could do cults are club for this?
According to the Magen Mishnah, if I would pass like the Magen Mishnah, yeah, sure. Wow. That's amazing. No, you have a cold, a fever of 102. Yeah, I really want the television on because, that football game is really going to make me feel better.
I'm just driving me to the beach.
But come on.
Does that mean that? I'm just not understanding. Can I just clarify?
Yeah, please.
That case, the Magen Mishnah is a piece of the whole Sheish Mazakana. Reb Moshe isn't saying you're a Chol HaSheish Mazakana currently.
Yes, you are. Reb Moshe says that with a high fever, you're a Chol HaSheish Mazakana. Right? The Tzitz Eliezer is talking about a situation that you have a very minimal condition that could potentially snowball into something else. And he argues on Reb Moshe about the high fever. He says Reb Moshe gives a temperature for the fever 102, no, right? And the doctors left. And Rav Moshe also, in a different tshuva, here, scroll up to spreading disease. It's Roman numeral 7 on page 10. B'dvar chula she'im bo sakana ba'alul li machala zu lavo li machala acheret she'ish bo sakana im mutar likach harifuos. Right? So this is a tshuva to Rav Ephraim Greenblatt. He was the Rav of Memphis. It could lead to a sakona, right, etc. Can you take pills? Yeah, you can take pills. And are you able to be mechal Shabbos? Says Reb Moshe, yeah. V'gam yesh li raya from the Gemara Navoi Dezora. The Gemara speaks about where the kachi and shini are like a macha or like a maka shocholol. Kachi and shini means teeth. Right, when we say an internal injury, Yimachal Shabbos, are teeth considered internal? So the Gemara says that Tzapidna, we Machal in all of Shabbos. Umepash of Nachman by Yitzchak, Shani Tzapidna, Hoyo Maskal Bepe, Vigomer Bene Meayim. Hare Masha, the Etzem Hamachala Hu Bekachi Ubashini, like Rashi says, and the refuels over there will help for the teeth. But if you don't heal this disease, it will come to infect your b'nei me'ayim. Therefore, you're allowed to be mechal Shabbos. Meaning there's a disease called tzapidna in the Gemara, which starts in the teeth and then it goes to the b'nei me'ayim. And the Gemara, in the shayla about whether a mechal Shabbos for teeth, right? This is, any of you want to be dentists? This is like the only Gemara about dentistry in Shas.
I gotta send it to my mom. She's obsessed with teeth.
Okay.
She looks at my teeth.
I'm like, okay. So the Gemara says that am I Mechal Shabbos? I'm Mechal Shabbos for internal injuries. If I have an injury in my teeth, am I Mechal Shabbos for that? So Safik in the Gemara. We happen to paskin, by the way, that we are Mechal Shabbos for teeth. It's like an abscess. If you have like an infection in the teeth, we assume that you are Mechal Shabbos, like a makashol cholol. Happens that the Rosh Yeshiva in YU in 1927 was the Mechater Eloi, no? The Mechater Eloi, Rav Palachek. So the Mechater Eloi died. There are different ways that they say the story, but he had a tooth abscess. And one way I heard they said the story is that he refused to allow his beard to be shaved to let them go inside and remove the abscess. That's one way I heard the story. And we know he died from a tooth abscess. That we know. Okay. We are Mechal Shabbos. We assume that teeth is considered internal. But at one point in the Gemara brings a raya from Tzapidna. That Tzapidna is a disease in the teeth. And Zakram Nachman by Yitzchak, no, there's no raya from Tzapidna. Tzapidna begins in the teeth, but it goes to B'nei Me'ayim. Therefore, it says Reb Moshe, you know what? A disease that might spread your Mechal Shabbos. That's Reb Moshe's Raya from Tzapidna. This Gemara of Tzapidna does not make it to Shulchan Aruch anywhere. Kein Monisht. It's not there in Shulchan Aruch. But Tzitz Eliezer, in his lectures to Chever HaRofim, is saying, you know what? I'm not going to be Michal Shabbos for a disease that could potentially spread, etc. I didn't give you the section where he talks about Sapidna. He says, we don't pass him that way. Right? So Rav Moshe on both counts, right? I wonder if you made this point. I think Tavor made the point. Right? There are two Nekudot in Rav Moshe. One is fever, qua fever, and the other is the spreading element. The Tzitz Eliezer kind of is conflating the two, but Rav Moshe elsewhere says, yeah, Machal Shabbos for spreading, sapidna, and Machal Shabbos for high fever, ishta tzemir to the Gemara Pesachim. And the pshat in Rav Moshe, the way Rabbi Badner says it, is that Rav Moshe is saying that I listen to the Chachmei HaMasora against what the doctors say. Now, if I take that idea seriously, so then I have the following situation. Turn to the section Nishtana HaTeva, top of page 12. Nishtana HaTeva says in Shulchan Aruch, Maka she'al gav hayad v'gav haregel. Right? What's a maka she'al gav hayad? That means you have a wound over here. No, that means you have a cut. Okay, did you ever get a paper cut? Okay, so some discuss maybe it's gav hayad only on the yad, not on gav ha'etzpos, but a cut. Shulchan Aruch says you machal on Shabbos for it. Right? Chim yishabala aluka, if you swallow a leech. V'chim yishanashacho kelev shota. That's a concern of rabies. You machal on Shabbos in those cases. Right? Or you are bitten by a snake. The doctors today will say a makash al gav hayad is not dangerous at all. Again, if you're gushing blood, so that I don't care where you're gushing blood from, so you got to close it up. But assuming it's just a makash al gav hayad, a bruise, right? Forget bleeding, you have a bruise. Yeah, get a bruise on the back of your hand.
Would that be the same as a broken bone?
No.
Considered a maka?
A broken bone, a maka pashtus means a maka, meaning you have a bruise or a cut. That's a maka. A broken bone is called a shever. Whether your machal Shabbos are a broken bone or not, okay, ladies, if I get gruesome, like, please tell me to stop. Okay, if the bone breaks and it cuts through the skin, Mechal Shabbos. So far, so good? If the femur breaks, any bone that breaks, like the top of the leg or something, that could, again, in his book, he gives you all these diseases. Obviously, you have a suffix, Mechal Shabbos. But a broken bone, like a torus fracture, right? I got a bunch of these in my life. Yeah, this little bone, like, gets a tiny fracture, like moves. I only noticed it because it hurt me to pick up a cup of water. And I didn't notice it for like 2 weeks after. A kid hit me. I was in ninth grade. I still remember the kid. Whatever. But ninth grade recess. Got a torus fracture. You machal Shabbos for that. If you know you have a fracture, again, obviously you're not, it's also relevant like a diagnostic. Someone comes and they say, my arm hurts. Are you allowed to do an x-ray on Shabbos? An x-ray is a shayla of the orais of Kosev. It's just diagnostic. But you show up and the doctor says, worst case scenario, it's a small fracture, a broken toe, right? Anyone here broke toes? Happens all the time. You should wear shoes, right? You're less likely to break a toe if you wear shoes. But you're going to show up to the orthopedist or something and you're going to say, like, my foot hurts, I broke a toe. And they'll say, yeah, okay. Right? Should I have an X? Maybe they'll do an X-ray. Are you allowed to do such an X-ray on Shabbos? Of course not. No? There's no urgent need. So a broken bone, it really depends where the bone is broken, what type of break it is. And obviously, you don't make these decisions on your own. Again, Hatzalah has to have guidelines. Like, people will often call Hatzalah, and then Hatzalah has to make a decision, oh, we're going to transport or we're not going to transport. Technically speaking, someone was telling me about a case of someone, a prominent man in the Heights, who was nifter a couple of years ago. And by the time Hatzalah showed up, the guy was dead, and Hatzalah drove him to the hospital anyway. That's Chilul Shabbos. You're not allowed to do that.
Did they know he was dead?
So apparently one of the people knew he was dead, and they just said, oh, it's better to... I think the cheshbon was that they didn't want to pronounce on the scene because his wife would have, like... I think the issue was that they worried about her stress.
But it's
her. Right, so it could be Pikuach yeah. Nefesh for her. But usually, like, to transport a dead guy, there's no heter. You can't sign a death certificate on Shabbos, no? They're dead. Can't sign a death certificate. It's pretty obvious. So basically, what we have over here is the Rev Moshe about Chilul Shabbos at 102 degrees. I don't understand why Rabbi Bodner is American. So he does. He quotes the Tzitz Eliezer in the footnotes. The Pashtus is we can't give an absolute number for the temperature, for the amount of fever that's necessary for Chol Shabbos. You can't do such a thing. Right? And the Pashtus, if the doctors tell you 1,000,000% that this is something that there's no suffix sakana at all, right? A cold, it doesn't even rise to the level of suffix sakana. Right? If it's something that you would not go to the emergency room on a Wednesday, the Pashtus, right? You cannot be Machal Shabbos. I think the doctors are right. Tzitz Eliezer is right. And we shouldn't pass like Rav Moshe. Again, one of the reasons why I was learning these halachas with my son, he has like lots of notes in here that like, oh yeah, Rabbi Schwartz says, I don't know why he calls me Rabbi Schwartz, but okay, he's my son. So he's like
a random person that takes the book.
I guess so. Like me. Random person takes the book off the shelf, right? Because it's in the shelf of my house. But the Pashtus is that if you know that the fever is from a cold, you're not Machal Shabbos, I think. And there's a small chance it's going to spread. Well, that itself is not enough to be Machal Shabbos. Shulchan does not quote this old Tzapidna thing. Everything over here is difficult. Just to talk for 5 minutes, though, about what is the threshold beneath which is not even a suffix sakana, right? We gave the mashal of crossing the street. You're not allowed to enter a suffix sakana. Look at page 9, 10, and 11. Right? So Gemara in Yuma, Daf Pei Dalet, suffix Pekuach Nefesh is also Da'ucha Shabbos. However, the Gemara in Yevamis, this is the famous birth control sugya, Shalosh Nashim Rishamshas B'moch. Right, that there are three women that the concern is that the Tashmish Hamita will make her pregnant and then it will kill the baby who's already inside her. Right, let's say that's the case of Muberes. So that's the Heta from birth control, however you understand the Sugya, etc. But this is the position of Remeir, that Shosh Nashim Shamshis B'moch. Chachamim Omrim. Achazu, right, last line in Meseches Yevamis Yudbeis, Chamim Achazu, Mishameshes Kedarka Vaholeches, Min Hashemayim Yirachamu, Mishum Shenema, Shomer Psaim Hashem. Right, meaning the Ribbono Shelam protects the stupid. So, yeah, Shomer Psaim Hashem, it's a pasuk. God protects the stupid. So here's the thing. Is there any element of sakana? Obviously there is. There's some sakana. Remeir is kosher shlemiyuta b'chol hashas. Right? Remeir is worried about a small amount. The Chachamim say it's not enough to be considered a suffix sakana. The likelihood of becoming pregnant once you're already pregnant, so unlikely that baby number two is going to squash baby number one and kill baby number one, right? So therefore, mishameshes kedarka b'holachas. It's not even a suffix sakana. So what is the threshold beneath which it is not considered a suffix sakana? So different poskim have different amounts. So if you look in the Binyan Siyan, the Binyan Siyan is Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger. He was the Rav of Ahu, Altoona, Hamburg, and Wandsbach, three German cities. According to tradition, he gave smicha to Rabbiner Samson Raphael Hirsch. No one has ever seen that smicha. That's the end of my editorial comment. If you want to read the rest of that editorial comment, I wrote an article in the YU student newspaper called Hamavaser. When I was an undergraduate, Rabbi Parnas, who was then a Rosh Hashiva in YU, did not like my article. He decided to give a Musar Shmooze to his shiur, reading through my article, saying why my article was absolutely wrong because I didn't have enough Derech Eretz for Reb Shamshon Raphael Hirsch. Obviously, this shook me a lot. I'm like, it's my first semester in YU, a couple of weeks into my career in YU. The next thing I know, I get a phone call from Dr. Lamb, Dr. Lamb's secretary. Dr. Lamb used to be the president. He's like, Ezra Schwartz, Dr. Lamb would like to see you. So I'm like, oh my God, I'm being kicked out of YU. It's over. Like, I don't know what's going on here. So I go up to Dr. Lamb's office. He says, anyone who Parnas doesn't like can be my friend. So this introduces me to YU politics. But that was... So,
what a first semester.
It was kind of not. What did you say?
I also read an article. Well, it's, yeah, I wrote an article for that same.
Hamavaser.
Yeah, yeah. My first semester.
You were also called, you were called into Ari Berman, Richard Jones?
No, but I got in trouble.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What did you write about?
I wrote about Spot.
It's fact.
Yeah.
That doesn't sound so controversial.
What a hot button.
I don't know. I don't fully remember exactly what it was, but I remember getting in trouble.
It happens that these are very, this was a very traumatic experience for me. I mean, like, whatever you say about it, I was like a little kid. I apologize, but college freshman, little kid. Like, I'm scared to death of this. Like, big Rosh Hashiva starting up with me. Whatever. He literally read my article line by line while I was in Rav Schechter's shiur. So, like, one of the guys in Rabbi Parnas's shiur goes out to get me. And like, so I show up. The thing was over. I tried to speak to Rabbi Parnas after, and he's like, you know, I tell him, like, you misunderstood what I wrote. He's like, yeah, but I'm entitled to misunderstand what you write, because once you put something in print, it has a life of its own. And that was actually a fair point. I mean, what I wrote is that we shouldn't think, I wrote that we should have Rabbi Hirsch as a great Mefarish on Tanakh, as someone who built up Orthodox Judaism in Germany, but we shouldn't try to make him into a posek, right? And the line that I wrote is, who says all of our gedolim have to be masters of halacha? That's the way I wrote it. So Rabbi Parnas went berserk at that line. What do you mean? Of course a gedolim has to be a master of halacha. Now I'm like, I meant like a posek. I didn't, and like master of halacha was my English rendition of posek. So
that makes sense as a point.
Yeah, I thought my comment made a lot of sense. Rabbi Parnas obviously didn't agree with me. Whatever, this was a traumatic experience. It really was. So we're getting into this because the smicha that Rabbiner Samson Raphael Hirsch apparently has is from Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, who's the Rav of Ahu. No one ever saw that smicha. In the Art Scroll book about Rabbiner Hirsch, which I was writing a review of, that was my essay. It was a review of the Art Scroll book about Rav Hirsch. So they quote that Rav Hirsch's smicha was burned in the fire in his house, like, along with all of his tshuvas and chosh and mishpat. I don't know. Like, it just doesn't seem, I just felt like it didn't seem very likely to me that the stuff that would be burned is his smicha and his tshuvas and chosh and mishpat. Like, maybe he didn't write tshuvas and chosh and mishpat. Like, and like, we know he had a smicha from Chacham Isaac Bernays, who was like a complicated figure. Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger was mamash like the God of Hadar. So Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger in the Binyan Siyan writes, now afagad the klav yadenu de'en lecha davar omei b'fnei pekuach nefesh ve'en lecha pekuach nefesh acharov zed dafka b'yesh v'aday sakonos nefesh l'faneinu. Right, that's a case where you definitely have a case of sakonos nefesh. You fall off, someone is nafal of hagal, right? You have the classic case that you're under rubble. So in that case, you know that even though it's only a miyut miyut of someone who's going to survive, but still you machal Shabbos in that case. But if you're not sure if it's a safek sakana at all, so then who says you machal Shabbos? The Gemara writes that if you're davening Shmona Esrei and there's a scorpion that comes by, so you interrupt. If a snake comes by, you don't interrupt. Now, you don't stop davening when there's a snake. What do you mean? Isn't it safek sakana? Stop davening, safek sakana. The answer is that in your area, it doesn't even rise to the level of safek sakana. But that's what the Binyan Zion says. His cheshbon is that the definition of a safek sakana means if you are in a vadai sakana situation and it could be that you're alive or you're dead, so that is considered a safek sakana. That's the Binyan Zion's cheshbon. It depends whether the sakana already began. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach in this tshuva, he quotes that the tshuva's Reb Kiva Eger says that safek sakana is, where does he say it? Yeah, no. Rav Shlomo Zalman says that it depends, excuse me, on subjective things. Well, here, the second paragraph. I was referencing the second paragraph. Like, inyan ikra adover, man ikra safek b'koch nefesh umalo, ad evo agvol, gam anochi ba'anyi histapakti tuva b'zeh. I'm also uncertain. Mitzad hasvar nilofin yistaiti dekol shederech rov b'nei adam levrach mizeh kibareach b'nei hasakona harezo koshim b'kos safek b'koch nefesh. This type of thing that people run away from. Right? For example, I read the box of my medication. And the box of my medication says that there is a 0.000003 chance that it will kill me. Will I take the medication? Probably, no? It's a suffix sakana. Terence says people don't consider that a suffix sakana. Suffix sakana is something that people run away from. That's what they consider a suffix sakana. Short of that, it's not a suffix sakana. So the Binyan Zion's cheshbon is it depends whether it began already. Rav Shlomo Zalman says that it depends on whether people will run away from it or not. The Mishnah Brura writes that it depends on Echad Me Elef. Right? Echad Me Elef is 1 out of 1,000. Right? That's pretty high. That would be 0.0001. Is that correct? It's math people. I don't know.
One in
every thousand people will die. So that's very high. Now, obviously, that level depends on what condition you have. If I have cancer, Rahman Latzlan, and the medicine will 1 in 1,000 kill me, but without the medicine, 1 in 100 I'm going to die. That's very different than, but a 1 in 1,000 chance. What the Mishnah Berurah is talking about is a yoledes. What are the odds of women dying in childbirth?
In America.
In the year 2023.
Mortality
rate. Too high.
The answer is too high, right? Whatever the answer is, it's too high. But is it, the Mishnah Brura writes that the pain that a yoledes has is a davar tivi, and 1 in 1,000 don't die. So therefore, you have to do a shinui by yoledes. Meaning yoledes, you do a shinui. You don't do a shinui by regular chola. You don't do a shinui, let's say, by a regular chola sheyesh bo sakana, me'ikra adin, according to the Mechaber at least. Because it depends on the percentage. Yoledes says the Mishnah Berurah is 1 in 1,000. I think Reb Kiva Eger and the Chuvah says 1 in 1,000. Reb Shechter always says 1 in 1,000 is just like an approximation. It really depends like what Reb Shlomo Zalman is saying. Do people consider it an acute thing that they're really scared of, that they're going to run and try to go to the hospital?
Is that like why a Willig and skydiving is a problem?
Says what?
A Willig and skydiving is
also. So Rabbi Willig is super machmir on skydiving, on skiing.
Coffee.
I don't know about that. Like, is he machmir coffee also? That's mamash gezirshi in the tibichum lamaldo. I mean, literally. I know he's machmir on sky. Rabbi Willig is super machmir on
drinking coffee.
Yeah, we just said that. Yeah, Rabbi Willig is super machmir on like skydiving, all these things. I remember one time when I was in Moresh HaKolel as a counselor, So one time I drove in to New York with Rabbi Willick as a cousin, Rabbi Yehoshua Kalish, who was my 11th grade Rebbe. He's a huge Talmud Chacham. So we're talking about like Rabbi Willick's shitos, about what's considered a sakana, because we're driving like at 3 o'clock in the morning. So I'm like, I don't know if Rabbi Willick would permit this. Like, it's a sakana. So Rabbi Kalish is like, I don't understand. Everyone does it. Shomer Psalm Hashem. Rabbi Kalish is right. Shomer Psalm Hashem. Tackle football, right? Because of what's his name, Damar, whatever. Now, again, tackle football might be sakanas nefashos on other levels. Like, if you don't wear a helmet, like, yeshiva bachur who play tackle football, tackle could be dangerous. I don't know. Like, but certainly, I actually have a relative who was playing tackle football on top of the roof of his yeshiva. Okay, that's really dangerous. but certain things are very low-level sakanas. We'll say Shomer Psalm Hashem. My guess is that there are enough people who go skydiving and go skiing that you can't say it's a suffix sakana, that it's usher. Right? I think the rayas from Shomer Psalm Hashem and from Birchas HaGomel, those rayas that the Binyan Sinan brings, are very strong. And my guess is that all these things are beneath the threshold. Okay, questions, comments? Devorah.
Yeah, so just about the Binyan Sinan thing of like, if the sakana already started, can we define that a little more?
So he doesn't get into details. He says that in the Gemara, the case of Suffolk, that I'm Machal Shabbos for is there's a Mapolas. You know for sure that this thing could kill you. It's a Suffolk, did it already kill you? That's what he says. It's a Suffolk also. I think he distinguishes between the Suffolk, whether it started already. If I have a disease and I know that it started, that's different than if I'm not sure I have a disease. So right, his cheshbon is that did it start yet or did it not start yet?
So then, what if it didn't start yet, but it is a very high likelihood that if it gets
you? So the Binyan Sion would sound like that. That is not the type of suffix that kind of Machal Shabbos for, right? Again, it's hard to swallow. Yeah, I agree. I also think that giving a real numerical definition of what's called the suffix sakana is also very difficult. What Rav Shlomo Zalman says makes the most sense, and that's the Pashtus. Like, will you run on a Shabbos or not? Or will you run on a Wednesday, I should say, or not? That's the issue. Any other questions, comments, observations? Devorah.
Yeah, so just going back a little bit to the Rav Moshe about the fever. So could you just say that Pshat Rav Moshe isn't about whether it was to doctors or not, just is the same chiddush as the idea that if it's going to eventually develop into something, it'll be...
Right, so you could you could say it like that, and that would be consistent with what Rav Moshe says about Tzapidna.
Right.
But the Tzitz Eliezer does not like that either.
Right, you're saying that it's the same.
Yeah, that's what I meant. Like, yeah, the Tzitz Eliezer is conflating two issues. It happens that Rav Moshe, yeah, I mean, again, Rav Moshe in both cases is taking what the Gemara says at face value, right? The Gemara says that Ishta Tzimirta Machal Shabbos, the Gemara says Tzapidna Machal Shabbos. But that ends the conversation. I think Rabbi Bodner makes that point. But again, if you have like a machlokus among doctors, again, the hardest question is what's considered a legitimate doctor. I'm not going there. I don't know. But if you, but there is a, yeah, it could be a suffix icon, absolutely.
Because then it's just a suffix icon question. Like, maybe your approach to standard is just really, really low. Like, even if it's going to be, then it's not.
But I just think it's an untenable type of approach on Machal Shabbos for a routine cold. It just doesn't. It really seems very difficult. Okay. Any other questions or comments? Okay, Chevra, excellent.
I do have one more.
What?
I do have one more.
Sure, I have time.
Okay.
We're going to move on to Haftorah like in a minute, but yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that was a thing. Okay.
Yeah.
So. Just about the Shana and Tivim. So I just noticed the example that was brought was in the case which now we know is dangerous, so we don't do it. Whereas the case that Rav Moshe brought is the reverse.
It's nachon, right? So one could argue that we are, that's a very fair point. One can make the argument that we're machmir in both directions, but It reaches a certain point of absurdity. That's the problem. Like, it's very hard to, with a straight face, say that I'm a Chal Shabbos or someone with a common cold who's running a fever. If the doctor would say there's nothing, I mean, mate, the doctor would say you don't have to be worried. Right? Even with COVID, right? So at some point, the doctors said, we don't want you to go to the emergency room, right? Right, so to be Mechal Shabbos, like the Pashto says, like you can't. Right, if something is Bahol, sing Mechal Shabbos. Okay, again, we'll have to decide if Hever wants like a shir on Chol Hashem Bo Sekana and Mechush, or should we just move on to Melachos? That's something for you to discuss among yourselves.
Everyone, close your eyes.
What?
Everyone, close your eyes.
No.
Oh, okay. Everyone, close your eyes.
Wait, close your eyes.
Just close your eyes. Just close them.
We can stand.
No, like my eyes are closed. Literally, just everyone close your eyes. It's 10 seconds.
My eyes are closed.
Everyone, close your eyes. Do you want to continue with Mechash or Chol Hashem Bo Sekana? Raise your hand. Okay, you want to move forward? Raise your hand.
Your eyes are open.
I know.
Okay,
so no one. So I have one against one.
Because nobody voted.
Right, that's the problem. This doesn't tell.
I bought it from you.
Okay, you know, Kevin, we have to figure this out for a different time. We'll have to figure this out.
Why are we giving you so much? Like,
it's not that hard.